And to be a wish granter means you get to make a child's wish come true. It's the best thing in the world. It's like Christmas every day. There's not one right answer. There's multiple wrong answers. Yes. You feel so great when you are able to help others, and it sort of broadens your world perspective.
All right, hey guys, welcome back to the studio. Today we have the beautiful Kimberly Posen McConnell in the studio today. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you so much for having me, Mike.
This Absolutely. Cool. Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited to chat with you today. And we connected through mutual friends and my friend Lisa Hoosier, who you were just at the Best Buddies event with, the gala.
Yes, the Best Buddies Champion Gala. It's so fun. I wish you could have gone, but yes. It's a gala that champions individuals who have been involved in the community for Best Buddies, which is an incredible organization.
I love it. Will you talk a little? I have my own nonprofit organization, and I work with the special needs community, people with diverse needs, for 30 years now.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I started my organization back in 2016. It's something I'm very passionate about. We provide 24-hour in-home care and transportation for individuals so they can, very similar to the Best Buddy, the idea of the Best Buddies, and it's to connect, you know, community, connectedness, and companionship are the three C's of my organization.
I really love that.
And I love connecting young folks, not, you know, people can't drive, not everyone drives, and they still need social activities. They want to connect with their community, and they have jobs, and they want a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a social
circle. Not everything can be on Zoom.
Right. Yes. Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's bringing people together, and Best Buddies is part of the community and bringing people together.
Yes, Best Buddies is an incredible organization. If people are not familiar, it was founded by Anthony Kennedy Shriver and provides opportunities to individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities, IDD. Now, as for my involvement, though, Mike, my involvement is started with ice cream. In 2017, I was at Cold Stone Creamery in Sherman Oaks in Los Angeles, saw a poster for Best Buddies, thought it sounded great, emailed to them, and I went to their happy hour, which is networking, friendship, and leadership development, and I was hooked from there.
Wow.
It's been ice cream ever since.
Yeah. There's a few other organizations you're involved in, too, which I think is amazing. We talked a little bit off camera about those. Would you share with the audience?
Oh, sure. So I'm also involved with Make-A-Wish Foundation. I've been a wish granter since 10 or 11 years now. And then I'm also involved in CASA, Court-Appointed Special Advocate, which is for children in foster care.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Okay.
So explain what you said with Make-A-Wish, a wish granter.
Yeah, okay. So Make-A-Wish is an organization which provides wishes to children with life-threatening medical illnesses. And to be a wish granter means you get to make a child's wish come true. It's the best thing in the world. It's like Christmas every day. People will sometimes say, well, is that sad, volunteering for Make-A-Wish? No, it's great. It's the best thing to hear what a child's true wish is, to help make it come true. Not everyone gets to be that. It's like I'm Santa Claus.
It's a celebration of life, too. It's a celebration of the person's life.
You're really,
you know, helping bring something to fruition.
Oh, absolutely. And research has shown that being involved with Make-A-Wish improves a child's compliance with taking their medication, so which in turn might help their prognosis. So if you don't want to take your medicine, it's been a long day, but you're going to meet LeBron.
Yeah.
LeBron would want you to take a medicine.
Yes.
So, you know, helps with that. Yeah. You know, we get so jaded being adults, but think being a kid and having your one wish come true. It's truly an amazing thing.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So many great initiatives that you're involved in. That's so important in the community. And, I find that very inspiring, and it can be awfully draining being an empathetic person and pouring into others when you do so much. And I've had so many great conversations with you since I've gotten to LA and started, since we've started talking about coming together to do the podcast. But I always like to bring up wellness practices for people. Like when you give and you pour into people and all the people that are around you, you're a natural caregiver, I think.
Thanks.
And I always like to show the audience wellness practices. What are some of the wellness practices you do to pour back into yourself? Because I know, as you just mentioned, all these great initiatives that you're a part of, it's giving energy away. But like, how are you pouring back into yourself?
That's a great question. And, you know, it reminds me, of a cartoon movie, Kung Fu Panda.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so Jack Black was great on it.
Of course.
So there's one line from the movie. And, I mean, this is going to be a big spoiler if you haven't seen Kung Fu Panda. But there's a line in Kung Fu Panda that says, there is no secret ingredient. Because they're like, how do you make the wontons? How, you know, what's the secret? There is no secret ingredient. So, like, there's not one thing that I can say as one quick trick to restore your soul. But there's a lot of different sort of ingredients that taste great when combined together.
Yes.
They are restorative. You know, for me, volunteering, I feel, does actually fill my cup, or, you know, it's like sow a seed in your time of need. Having gone through a lot of traumatic losses in my life, I do find that giving back helps me. Can get into
we get each other, because this is me too.
Yes.
So while I do know how to pour back into myself and I have my wellness practices, that is what fills my cup, is giving to others. And most people that doesn't resonate with. So I'm so happy to be sitting here and you share
a
network.
Unusual.
Really cool.
We're two odd birds then. Yeah. We're like birds of paradise. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, that surely does help. You know, physically getting around. I used to be a runner. I ran a half marathon, so you can be half impressed.
Yeah, but, I'm fully impressed.
Okay. Yes. Walking, getting my 10,000 steps in, gamifying it. Oh gosh, I love to go to the Korean spa, which is like rooms, different steam rooms. See that? I see you nodding.
Yes. I love it.
Yes. It just, to be in a whole room where all your attention is sort of how you feel, like, you know, the stones, the temperature, like breathing in. And there's even a room there called oxygen room, which I'm like, I feel like, aren't all rooms oxygen rooms?
Right.
No, this is a good room. Like breathe in the good, breathe out mad.
Clean oxygen.
I find that helps too. You know, another thing is, okay, well, this is going to sound strange, but having been through a lot of traumatic things, having a weird explanation or a funny explanation of why do all these things keep happening to me strangely helps. So in the movie The Emperor's New Groove, the main character has like the angel and the devil on his shoulders.
Yes.
Trying to decide on a big decision. And so the angel's like, no, you should do good, because it's, you know, it's a good thing to do. Then the devil's like, well, but wait, I can do this. And he does like one armed push-up sort of. The angel's like, what? That's not a reason. And then the character's like, well, no, he has a point. He can do one arm push-up. So my point being, if you're like, well, you know, I don't know why all these major traumatic things happen to me, but you know what? I can dance pretty good. Well,
yeah.
Maybe I can't. I can, or, you know, or like I can go get ice cream with someone. Does that solve the existential question? No. It's a little bit funny. I don't know. So having a weird, funny explanation helps me.
Well, you know how to put a positive spin on it.
I guess so, yeah.
And things aren't necessarily happening to you. They're happening for you. Because I think, you know, coal under pressure produces diets.
Oh, right? Yeah, right.
So like one experience you think, like when I went through my journey and starting my nonprofit, it was literally like one thing after another. Like I couldn't believe the things that had happened leading up to.
Mm.
And then when I was, as I was going through the experience, I went through a spiritual journey. I was processing like the loss of my brother. I had a 15-year relationship come to an end, and then an employment relationship come to an end of 20 years. So it was a lot of change at once for me. And it was like one of those, I did have a couple of days where I was like, why is this happening to me? But then I realized it was happening for me, and it was putting that spin that you just so eloquently put. You know, we all have that devil angel on the shoulders, just like the Emperor's New Groove, like you referenced. And that's fascinating. And, you know, throughout those trials and tribulations, I think that when you have the mindset of how to navigate through those times, like we were talking off camera about grief and loss, as I referenced my brother passing away, and you shared with me your father passed away, And that was, mm-hmm. you know, another one of those stories where you're learning how to process and figure out, you know, how to navigate through life now without your father present.
Yes, you know, that was maybe three or four of a series, actually, you know, traumatic things that happened to me. In 2004, I lost my brother, who was 19 years old at the time. In 2005 was Hurricane Katrina. I'm from New Orleans, also, which, of course, devastated the city. The short version is while my family was evacuated, my dad was diagnosed with a brain tumor, and he passed 6 months later, 2006. And then, unfortunately, we lost our home post-hurricane in 2007. So, quite a couple of years. It's like Thor, like, picking up his hammer and putting it down again. Yeah. It's all Disney references.
Right. Well, what a positive way to look at that. And so, because there's always a, you know, what I know about Disney movies, I don't know a ton, but I always know that there's a positive spin.
A Disney adult.
I listened to the books as a child. I had the books, not the movies, but I loved your reference to it. And everyone's journey is different, right? Everyone experiences different things. And anytime that I was going through those experiences, I would always have a conversation with somebody that went through another level of devastation.
Yeah.
Helped me put things into perspective for myself. And in your story, too, like, it was a series of events, because as we know, when it rains, it pours.
Yes. Well, you know, I mean, you know, grief is not a contest. No. If it is, I would like to retract my contest entry, please, like for the California lottery instead. And we're likely to win that one. Yes. And so, you know, and certainly, you never know what someone is going through. And, you know, certainly I'm not, like, again, I don't want the gold trophy of grief or anything. But I do think, to your point, though, a thing that has helped me is David Attenborough, you know, the narrator on many nature documentaries. So while all this was happening to me in about 2007, I think, is when the series Planet Earth came out. I don't know if you've seen it. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, actually.
I remember it was so great. And so there's an accompanying commercial to Planet Earth that is called The World Is Just Awesome, Boom Diada. That's the name of the commercial. Yeah. So you got to go look it up after you watch this.
Yes.
And it just, it makes you to think of the world holistically, right? So like as we're talking now, like salmon are swimming upstream or downstream, no, upstream. Yeah. Bears are hibernating. You know, the seeds that have been planted earlier, like, are now growing, you know, to think of just the whole world. The world is just awesome. It's got a lot of sad things, sorrowful things, but world is just awesome. That helps me somehow. I don't know.
I love it.
If I could go to space, and I would, but not like as a billionaire. I just want to like see it.
Yeah. Experience.
Yeah.
Yes. Be present in the moment. I think that I loved your perspective on how you're sharing everything. I had some of the same wellness practices. I found my way to sauna and healing and processing trauma and all of the things that life has to offer, you know, and it's always paired with good and bad, right? So like, while I was experiencing my series of events, there were beautiful things unfolding, which I realized in the process. And I think that, you know, while I processed the loss of my brother, it wasn't just the loss of my brother, because it seemed like death would come in threes. And it was then a dear friend of mine from high school. And then, you know, as you just shared, it's that's the way it is. Mm-hmm. And what I had to do was shift my perspective on celebrating life. And sometimes still experiencing the grief is part of that process for me. And so I embrace the grief now. I lean into the days of the grief, but I do try to focus more on the celebration of the time that I had with the person, because it helps to heal, you know, within my heart and during that process.
That completely makes sense. You know, so I had this weird experience in 2004 that I think speaks to, you can be both happy, not happy at the same time. It's weird, but it works. Okay, so I'm in Greece, and it's a couple months after my brother had passed away. I'm there with my dad, and I'm going running. As mentioned, I like running. That's 2004, so I have my cool iPod with cool songs on it. So I'm running. I run to the edge of the cliff. It's beautiful, the Grecian sea, the clouds. And I remember thinking to myself, I'm not happy. I should be happy. I mean, I'm in Greece. Come on, get with it. But I'm not happy. And what I wish someone had said to me then, because I'm in Greece, I wish the clouds had opened up and Zeus would come down and said to me, you might not be 100% happy, like ever. Like maybe you can be like 90% happy, 95% happy, but it's okay. Like I wish someone had told me that, because at the moment I'm like, I may be 90% happy. I recognize I'm in a beautiful place. I recognize this is amazing, but I can't get there. I can't get to be truly happy again. Yeah. And like, maybe that's okay. Even for the rest of your life. I don't know. Maybe that's okay. 90% still like, what, A minus?
Right.
I was only ever a B student. I don't know.
Right. Agreed.
So I wish someone had told me that. Because, you know, I mean, having lost of your brother too, as we were talking about, people say weird things to you all the time and you may be expected to like perform for them or be okay. Yeah. Like maybe it's okay if you're not okay. It could have been 90%, 85%.
It's weird to have to process and feel like you have to be okay all the time, right? Like
yes.
You have to present well. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, there's bad days. And sometimes days met with grief, I just learned to lean into it. And the anniversaries are a thing too, right?
Yes.
Like we talked about, we were talking about off camera birth dates and...
Yeah, you know, holidays are very hard for me, even still now, holidays. And, you know, I've tried like everything with holidays. Okay, so this one year, actually, I flew to Australia specifically. Wow. So that's extreme.
Yeah.
Specifically so that I would miss Christmas Eve. So I like arrived to Melbourne on Christmas Day and it was like a weird time at the airport. But surprisingly, it did not cure my grief.
Right. It follows you.
Oh my gosh, you know what? Okay, so speaking of following you, so you know, I mentioned a beautiful moment in Greece. Okay, I had another moment like this in not quite as pretty a place as Greece. I was in the basement of CBGB's, you know, the iconic New York bar, like the Ramones, like that, right? Okay, okay.
I've got the t-shirt.
I do too.
Yes.
You got to, okay. So this is in 2006. My father had just passed and I was working in New York. I had to delay flying out to New York for my dad's service. And it was also my first time flying to New Orleans was for my dad's funeral service, post-Katrina, my dad's funeral. Anyway, okay, so then after that, I had to fly to New York. Okay, basement of CBGB's. Seeing this like experimental band, real cool.
Yeah.
And during the set, this lady comes out with the band and she has a hourglass, a tall hourglass. She starts like, it's kind of like a weird, cool band, right? So she starts talking about the sands of time and like one side of the hourglass represents people who were born. The other side of the hourglass represents people who have died. And it was like, oh, like I'm not, can I like, can't I just go out and have a good time for once?
Yes.
Like, why do these things keep happening to me?
Themselves.
And it's like, man, like in Greece, here, Australia, I can't get away from it. It's like Jonah and the whale. Like I cannot get away from it. So, you know, these weird moments, I'm sure you have weird
all
moments
the
all the time. Yeah. You can nasta all the time. I sort of maybe think of grief like it's a shadow. So like you always have your shadow, I think. I don't know. I don't exactly know
how to say it. I hear exactly what you're saying. It makes sense.
Yeah, I don't even have to tell it to you.
Nope.
It. Sometimes it's big shadow, sometimes it's a small shadow, but maybe it's not always bad. Like, so like Peter Pan had shadows too. Yeah. And like, maybe it's okay that you always have a shadow because it's there with you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm talking about
part of, it's just part of moving on, because you don't lose the people that you've lost. They're still with us, right? And so that's just part of like my process is just accepting like, well, I have those memories with me forever from the time that we shared, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so their time was real. It was here.
Yeah.
Right. And we shared in those memories together. So that's not lost. It's not gone anywhere. Those memories are like a shadow, just like you explained. Right?
Yep. It comes up in quiet and weird ways, like so my middle brother Rick, a song that we liked is called 21 Questions by 50 Cent. And so we had a little joke going on in the lyrics, he like asked these questions, so we keep being like, is that three questions or two questions, like would you love me if I was down and out, would you still love me, is that three questions or two questions.
Yeah.
So but like that phrase has stuck with me. able to. So like even now, if someone asks me something, or where in my mind, like, is that three questions or two questions?
Right.
Can I ask you a question, or is that three questions or two questions?
Yeah.
I don't know. Right. And so like that's like a funny thing. But then, right after he passed, that song would still be on the radio, and you're like, oh, like, or you know, when it comes on now, right?
I have a special connection to songs, music, yes, numbers. Oh. So we share our mutual friend Lisa Hoosier, who I yes, often talk about, angel numbers, and I started tuning into different synchronicities like that, where I would be driving and it would be my brother's, I would see my brother's phone number or address on a license plate, and I would have just been thinking about and then I'm pulling up to a stoplight and then boom, there it is, or I'll see it on a sign or an address of a building.
Oh, that's very interesting. You know what? While you were talking, I know this is going to sound weird. While you were talking, I'm like, had a weird thing. Yeah. While we were talking, because I'm like, oh, I'm not good at math when you're saying that with the numbers. And it's almost like I could feel or hear my brother being like, she's not good at math.
I love this.
I
don't do any math, but that it's just like the last four digits of my brother. I'll be thinking about him, and that the song will come on, like the song "Let's Go Crazy" Prince will come on.
Yes,
and I had put those the intro to that song where he says, "Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life." So I put that on one of those like menu boards with the little letters. Oh. So I have that in my studio, in my podcast studio. In the dressing room, and then like little things like that, like certain songs come on and then the numbers line up, where it's like I'll be driving hearing that song, and then boom, I'll immediately think of him and then see like our childhood phone number, like the last four digits of our childhood phone number come up, or our childhood address or his address.
Oh my gosh. You know, I think it's good that you are open to these things. You may be further along perhaps in your journey than I am, because you know, even like for me still, whenever I meet someone new, I like meeting new people. Don't be afraid to meet me. And also when I meet someone new, I feel it start, okay, so it's like a balloon starts building up inside me of like, when am I gonna have to tell them about all these traumatic things? Bigger, like it's gonna pop one day. I'm gonna like tell them all this, and it often does come out like, yeah. So, or they'd be like, we ask a innocuous question and just like explode and everything.
No,
or some people do not know all these things about me, or like maybe mention one or two, or sometimes like you have to drag the information out of me. But I think what you're saying is good, to be more forthcoming. Like, this feels pretty good talking about.
Well, when you feel safe in someone's presence and it's very organic, it's very comfortable. So, like, we had that, I think, right off the bat when we met, you know, just in person for the first time. And then just having a conversation with our mutual connection, Court, off camera, you know, in the green room, just connecting like that, sharing stories. Those stories just came organically. I think in that that helps.
Yes.
And it's not like we have to share everything all at once, but one story connects with, you know, and resonates with someone else and prompts that person to share.
I suppose there's no control group for life, so like maybe I would have turned out different if these things didn't happen to me. But I feel like going through grief has made me be more nihilistic, definitive. Like when I meet someone, it's like, are you going to be cool with this precious thing that I have? You know, we're in LA, right? So an unspoken rule of living in LA, there's less celebrities around. So when you meet a celebrity, it's like the unspoken rule is be cool, man. Don't rush up. Don't be like asking a lot of questions. Be cool. So it's almost like we're like grief celebrities.
Right.
So it's like when you meet someone like, are you going to be cool? Or, you know, can I let you in to my sacred space of information, or tell you how I even feel about it, 'cause even telling them info, what happens different from the how do I feel about it, what am I doing now?
Right.
And well, I mean, you know this, when you tell people, you sometimes get like the wide eye emojis back look.
Yes.
You're like, okay, do I have to manage your reaction to what happened to me?
Right.
Now,
because that's another thing to carry. I feel that too when I that happen, or oversharing when you feel I've oftentimes had conversations where I felt like I overshared, like accidentally.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. Like the balloon pops. And you're like,
moonwalk. Yes. And maybe not even, maybe there wasn't even an indicator of a reaction from the person, but then I've like later gone home and processed everything I've just shared. And I'm like,
oh gosh, you do that too much. When I go home from a party, what is everything that I said?
Yes. You played it back in your head. And I'm like, oh, yes. I really got to dial that back. But I think that sometimes when you're engaging with people in your relationship building, organically, your body will tell you who to comfortably share with.
Yes, know? I think so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's almost like maybe there's three camps of people going through grief. So like camp number one is people who do mean well, but just they're, what they say or how they act is just not helpful to you, and it's maybe not really even their fault. You know what
yes,
I mean? Like someone's
I do.
Like, "Oh, how'd you sleep last night?" You're like, "Bad. It's not bad. Like, stop. Like, you know." But well, they mean well.
It becomes a demand, and I don't even.
Yeah,
think
it becomes a demand. That's good to put it.
I don't think people even understand.
No,
like,
and they
how
mean
they're
to.
Demanding they're being questioned.
Bad, like yes. calling them out on those, but the, sure. that exists. Okay,
yes.
it exists. Okay, so like then camp two is people who are just like ostentatiously rude. You know, just, you know what I mean? Say just ostentatiously rude things. You know, when Katrina happened and it's a lot of discourse that was unhelpful, let's put it that way, for me. And it's just so okay. So let's just say they're camp two. And then camp three is a very small camp, like only a couple of campgrounds there. People who are like truly there for you, show up, are helpful. I'd say I didn't really have that when I went through these things, but one person said something which was, "Hey, are you even remotely okay?" And I was like, I can breathe. It's like, when you turn on the shower and like the water comes out for you.
Yes. Very cleansing.
You're like, thank you. I am not remotely okay.
Right.
Thank you for recognizing that. Like, I can like exhale when I'm around you. I don't know if you've had.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because there's people that have the opposite effect on me where I feel like, oh my gosh, like the balloon is just expanding and expanding and expanding and expanding, which is like more stress, right?
Yeah.
If it was more stressful because I don't feel comfortable around the person. And oftentimes you don't understand the intentions of someone wanting to know if you're okay, if you're not, or is it just table talk for the next conversation you're going to, to say, you know, oh my gosh, this person's just, you know,
it's
a mess. And it's like, well, everyone's just kind of a beautiful mess. We're all carrying trauma, right?
Yeah.
Everyone's just collectively a mess.
Stay in this town.
Right. And so it's just navigating and finding your people that you vibe with. And I think to be able to share and feel safe with. Everyone just wants to feel safe, accepted, and at ease around people.
Yes, I agree. So, I mean, you being an expert in the podcast, let me ask you a question. Hello, welcome to the Kim Show. my question for you is, for anyone watching who knows someone who is going through or has gone through a traumatic time, what would you say to them how to be helpful to this part? Like, how would people be helpful to us having gone through?
I would say, you know, just kind of leaning into the grief, like don't fight right? Like I railed against it for so long, and it was, I had so many, well, you know, because you lost your brother and he was at a young age, as were you, and so for me it was, I was taking care of my family, my parents, I was putting the funeral together and all that, all those things, so I didn't have a moment really to lean in. Also, I was very young, so I didn't have necessarily the toolbox to tap into. But I think that, I think listening to other people sharing their stories can provide you the tools. Like, I took away tools from you, even though I'm 20 plus years along in the process of, you know, my brother's passing. And so there's always something new that comes along or someone amazing that I get to talk to, like yourself, that helps me further along that helps me, you know, add another tool into the toolbox and further along the healing process, because I think it's just an ever evolving thing, I think.
True. Like, yeah. There's no one secret ingredient. No, that's true.
I love that you said that. So thanks for coming back to that. You made a really great point when you started talking about the ingredients. That really resonated with me. Thank you for sharing it from that perspective, because
True. You make a good point. There's different, there's not one thing you can do. There's not one right answer. There's multiple wrong answers. Yes. For what I would say to someone else who might be watching this, knowing someone going through tragedies, and, it would be remiss if we didn't say, here in Los Angeles, of course, we did have the fires in Altadena and Pacific Palisades, and, people going through a similar thing. No one's journey or tragedy is exactly the same, but going through a similar thing. It's just a weird note. It's weird to go back and when I went back to New Orleans the first time, and like the street signs being gone, like you think you know how to drive somewhere, but the street signs being gone and seeing damage just really is upsetting. So, unfortunately here, people are experiencing the same thing. But what I was mentioning, like there's multiple things you can do, though not necessarily one right answer. I think I found help was practically people helping you, like get someone a coffee. right?
Very simple.
How you said leaning into the grief. Someone said to me once, it's okay to just sit here and be sad. Like, we can just sit here and be sad. I'm like, thank you. I don't have to like perform for you. I'm okay. How are you?
Yes. Exactly.
With my bad news.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Right. There's not one right answer. There's multiple wrong answers.
And I like that. It's like how you pointed out the ingredients again, because there were many wellness practices that I had taken on to heal various traumas that I've experienced throughout life. And people will ask me, what's the one thing? And I said, well, I really couldn't pinpoint one thing because I was doing various things. I got into skydiving. I took up jujitsu. I took guitar lessons.
That's cool. That's good for you. But like doing weird or unusual things. I think that was traveling for me. Doing weird, unusual things. Like when holiday, I'm like walking on a glacier in New Zealand, right? So like get yourself out. Yeah.
I was getting out of my comfort zone.
Yeah, get out of your comfort zone. Like
yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like you're ever escaping the thing. It's always there, like you find it
out. CBGB's basement, always there.
Exactly, because it's always going to come back around. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But it was just me getting out of my comfort zone and learning how to, love myself during that process and not feeling shame for owning the guilt or experiencing the guilt.
Yeah, I agree. Giving back to others, I think, super helps. I'm going to quote our mutual friend. He said it's like mainlining philanthropy. Like you feel so great when you are able to help others, and it sort of broadens your world perspective too. If you help others who have different challenges, it's another one. So like if you're sad, go help someone.
Yeah. I always fills my cup. So that's like I have been a part of various groups since I was 15 years old, just getting involved. I love giving back. I love community, and I love just experiencing the joy of participating in activities with others that are experiencing diverse needs.
So for example, Best Buddies, I'm involved in a lot of their events, and so one thing we love to do is karaoke. I don't know if you're a karaoke connoisseur.
The folks that I get involved in you never want to hear me sing karaoke.
Well, I mean, I didn't actually say we get A for enthusiasm.
Yes.
After the 2-drink minimum, yes. So there's two ways to do karaoke, right? There's like in a room separately, where it's just yourself.
Yeah.
Or there's at the bar on the stage with everyone watching you. So with Best Buddies, we love to get up on the stage, sing your song, dance to the beat. And it's so heartwarming because the bar kind of like all rallies around you, claps, cheers, especially after the 2-drink minimum. It's just so to your point, like having diverse individuals all enjoying activity together, or like going toward a common goal, even if the common goal is like try to hit the notes in Summer Nights.
So. Yes, right. So, but the individuals that I've been so blessed to have in my life have just enriched my life so much. And they're all my greatest mentors. I've said it from the beginning of time. I'm like, these are my greatest mentors because they teach me how to have fun and how to relax and how to be in the moment and how to be present. And they always have gifts to share and for me to experience. And that's a blessing. And so one of the things that it's not like karaoke, but it has a similar vibe to what you just described. Those folks can get me to do anything. So right? I always say yes, and they always get me out of my comfort zone. I usually have it's nothing that's ever in my wheelhouse, but I'll do it because they can get me to do anything.
Yeah.
And so they got me to do this cardio drum activity where we would go. It's physical activity. So you take like the big yoga ball and you put it on top of a bucket, and then you got the drumsticks and they turn on the music and the lights and you're doing cardio drum. That's
awesome.
Quite a workout.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't even keep up with them. I just do normal like weights and things like that. Nothing fun. But that was like a whole new experience for me. And that was like very similar to what karaoke would be in my wheelhouse. Like, wow, that's really getting out of my comfort zone and doing all this movement with dance and music. And, you know, I'm great. I sound just like the music artist in my Jeep when I'm by myself.
Oh,
but if you were to record me, yeah, it'd be not so good.
You know, A for enthusiasm.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, it's so fun to get out of your comfort zone, I guess, would be another tip for everyone. Do weird, unusual things, especially things that's like for a good cause.
Yes.
Yeah. In CASA, the other organization which I volunteer, they have a saying, just showing up is extraordinary.
Yes.
So like, show up, ice and social, show up, drum, cool thing, show up.
Exactly.
Just showing up is extraordinary.
And one step leads to the next. Mm-hmm. So it's like just getting yourself in the room. Like I was getting out of my comfort zone during times of trauma, during COVID actually. And my organization is essential. So it ran. It's 24-hour.
Right. That makes sense.
Right. So we still had to go, still had to show up. And I had to like fill my cup because it was just one hurdle after another during that time, whether it was a payroll issue or
you got to keep the trains running.
The train has to
in unprecedented
running.
Times.
Absolutely. Mm. And I was getting out and getting into rooms and trying to network with anybody I could that would inspire me, right? Because I needed it. It was me, you know, you're trying to lead and inspire others, but you've got to have that network that can give that to you too, right?
Yeah, that's true. Having a good network is key. You know, if you don't have a good network though, because I felt like I didn't actually until many years later have a good network. Maybe part of it was the internet not being what it is today. I mean, there's many great opportunities to be connected today. But when I didn't have anyone, anything, no network, a thing I would do is like, well, okay, if I were someone else, what would I want this hypothetical version of Cam to do to help me? And then I would do it myself.
Yeah.
So like, I would go for a walk because a hypothetical version of me would be like, hey, you should go for a walk. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's like, talk to yourself.
Okay. I do it. So everything you're saying, I'm resonating with. So if you
people
think
I'm going to be like, they're the only two people.
Seriously, it resonates. I get it. I say all of that.
I'm glad to be able to talk to someone because you feel very isolated in your head.
I did. And I did. I relate to what you said too about not having the best network. It was just some people aren't in alignment and you don't even realize it until you do. And then you realize how to take steps to get out of it. And then you created like the best version of yourself. Start talking to yourself.
Create a best version of yourself.
Yeah, right.
That's a better way to put it rather than like, oh, really talk to myself.
I was just sharing with a friend of mine the other day about that practice because he was he's over in the UK and he gets up and he goes for a walk. And I was explaining that when I would go get lost in the woods, that I would kind of talk out
what was in my head, right? And just, he was like, interesting. He was like, I'm going to try that when I go out, because we're all working through something.
Yeah.
And sometimes whether you put pen to paper and write it out, or just you go on a walk and let it come, you know, just organically purge out of your own mouth so you can hear it back. Those were things for me, or like I shared with you too, the practice of going into the sauna and kind of just letting tears flow because it was warm and I was safe. Or
Safe space, really. Sauna being a safe space. Oh, interesting. Do you find people ask you a lot about, like, where were you when it happened, or like what?
Different people have different questions, and so I'm always open to. I remember like getting the call where my brother passed away. If we're referring to that time frame, I was sleeping, right? It was in the morning. And I remember someone telling me that a friend of mine was on the phone. And I was like, oh, I'll call her back. And then like my roommate was like, no, you need to take the call. Something happened. Something happened to your brother. And I was like, okay. And I remember just, and I was like in my boxer shorts or whatever. And when I get on the phone, I have to walk. I pace for some reason when I'm on the phone, right? So I had to get out of bed. And I'm walking, and then the next thing you know, I'm standing on the front lawn outside on the phone in my underwear, and my friend's telling me that my brother, that I needed to call the hospital. She didn't tell me he died, but she already knew, but she didn't feel comfortable being the one to tell. And so I called the hospital. They had told me. I remember the day. I remember the grass. I remember all the details, right?
It is so, like, let me just tell you, that is so, I guess, weird. I keep saying weird. I don't have a better word, but the details were exactly what you were wearing. Same for me. So for me, when my brother passed, I had moved to Los Angeles to attend grad school. I was on a study abroad trip in Switzerland in 2004. And so, as we were talking about, 2004, there's not cell phones, there's not smartphones. To get the internet, you had to go to a cool place called an internet cafe. Yes. I don't remember those. Yes. So we're on a mountain in Switzerland. My friends and I went and checked out a cool internet cafe, and I get a message saying call home. I get email saying call home when you get this. So, but that's not as easy as it seems, because again, 2004. So we ask around and we find there's one red phone booth, like these details, right? Red phone booth. Up the hill in Switzerland, you have to hike up to it. That's where you can make a phone call. So I take my friend with me, and we hike up one red phone booth. It's like Harry Potter, like that kind of phone booth. And so, like, close the door, call home, and that's when I found out my brother had died. And like you, I remember I was wearing cranberry corduroy pants, because again, this is 2004, and we're cool, you know.
Those are back.
Back, okay, good. So I get them out. Did you see Couture tracksuits? But I remember like the pants. I remember wearing hiking boots because we're in Switzerland. I like put my boot against the wall. I like put my back and slide. I like slid down.
Yeah.
I remember my friend like flew out the door somehow, and then like the director of the program has appeared by the door, like, you know. So it's like these details. And so now we're at the top of the phone booth. I have to figure out how to get down off the mountain in Switzerland, go to the airport, because again, no smartphones change your flight. Went to a little Swiss airport, explain in French what's happening, fly home to New Orleans. And so like the details, I remember like my hiking boots crunching down the leaves. I remember being like, wait, I have a suitcase of hiking clothes. I need clothes for the funeral.
Right.
It was like,
your mind's racing.
I have to go shopping room in New Orleans. And I'm like, that's weird to, I remember being like, hey, self, that's weird to think about that shopping. You know what I mean? But like, still. So I remember crunching the hill, the airport, all these weird, it's weird to, your world has fractured, and yet you remember these odd details.
And life is still happening around it all. It doesn't stop. Your world seems to stop, but it's all going on around you.
Yeah, and it's almost like offensive that like the world, people are eating sandwiches when my world is fractured. Yeah. Jeez. So like my second loss with Hurricane Katrina. So now we've from my last room. So we fast forwarded. It's 2005. Hurricane Katrina is coming, and I'm in grad school. So I'm doing what grad students do, which is move apartments. Yeah. Again, back to the internet in 2005, no smartphones. So I had moved all my things from one apartment to my new apartment, but the internet, I had not switched over the internet yet. The router's in my empty apartment. So for 2 days, I'm trying to call my family on my new cool flip phone.
Yes,
invention.
I had this
2005,
yes.
Red.
I had silver.
Oh, yes. Well, that's pretty cool too.
Very sleek.
Okay, so I'm trying to call my family. I obviously can't get through. So I sit in my empty apartment for 2 days on my laptop and calling. I'm refreshing my email, refresh, refresh, refresh. News sites, refresh, refresh. Twitter not invented yet, so I'm refreshing like CNN, the local newspaper. For 2 days, not being able to get in touch with my family, like. Are they alive?
Right.
My brother had just passed the year before, so it's not out of the question for me to be like, are they alive? While I'm doing this, other friends call me to go bowling with them, which is nice. Again, there may be group one,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So it's nice of them to invite me. And I'm also like, how can you ask me this? So I feel like I'm in a snow globe.
Yeah.
And like it's being shaken and the snow's going all around. It's full of water. I'm like drowning. Other people can see through to me because the snow globe is transparent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yet they have no idea what being in a snow globe is like. They just see through me and just think I'm a normal person. But my world, like I'm drowning. Snow is going everywhere. And like I can yell out, but like, can't hear outside the
blizzard,
snow globe.
Right.
No one understands.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never look at snow globes.
Yeah. Snow globes. It's like a blizzard when you shake it up.
Yes, exactly. So I'm in a blizzard and also drowning because it's also water, right?
Yeah.
And I can't get out. But anyone who's looking at you is like, oh, you're fine.
Right.
You would drink it all sun though. Yeah. Right. Right. It's so strange, such a naive.
It is. Yeah. And no one really knows what it is that you're carrying or where your process is during that time, right?
Yeah.
So I went through that too, where it was just like, there was a period in time where no one was going to say the right thing or do the right thing, even if their shits were good.
Same.
It's just like,
no one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I went to, you'll be surprised, Disney for one of my birthdays soon after all this happened. And I remember being like, where should I get eat this? Zachy's place under. And then I'm like, kind of like with Greece, okay, excuse you, you're supposed to be happy now. Yeah, but it's like, people can do no right at one point if they're breathing houses.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough one, Mike.
It is. And Disney sounds like their safe place. So, you know, Disneyland, yeah.
It was.
Well, it's fun, right? I'm sure, I'm very good bet.
What?
I'm never booking Disney.
Okay, wait, we're going to have to finish recording this.
And go, yeah. I've been to California Adventure.
Okay.
Years ago when it first opened up and they had the roller coaster with the Mickey.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's Mickey in a lot of places, actually.
I mean, right. But that California Adventure was about the only one that had that roller coaster where it was in a circle.
Yes. That was upside down.
This was probably the 2001.
Yes, it has changed quite a lot.
Yeah.
That was then. It's like, there's actually a lot of things that's going to change since that 2005.
Yeah. But no, I've never been to Disneyland or just.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we got to go.
I think we're going to have to experience this at some point in my
life. Yes. Is there on square there? You know, actually, you know what? And like, be it on a ride or like, going fast, adrenaline,
yeah,
also helps with breathe. So there we go.
I did go to, what was it when I was here? I did California Adventure, but also I did Universal Studios.
Yes, Universal Studios.
Yeah.
Also here. Yes, that's right. Yes, yeah. Very fun. You have a fast lot tour.
Yeah.
I've done some set visits for television shows and things like that, but this was all back like in the 2008s. So I know everything's like evolved, you know.
Yeah, a couple of new things.
Yeah,
and
I've also been to Ripley's. Is that here?
Yes.
Then yes, I went to Ripley's also.
Okay, I'm gonna be like, Laughs in LA local. That's a very sure sequel.
Okay, yeah, this is so
weird. That's very cute that you said that. Yes, it's very charming.
Yes, okay, got it. I can't really tell you what I saw there or what went on there because I did so many things in one visit, but it was...
Well, you can believe it or not.
Yes, Ripley School or not in there. Yeah. So there was Universal Studios, and then what's the other one I'm missing?
There's Knott's Berry Farm.
Knott's Berry Farm.
Yeah, yeah. That's a little bit further south. And so the story of that is it was Knott's like jam, you know, like jelly's jam. Yes. And so way back, it was a jelly jam place. And people were, I think this was the right story. I'm sure the internet will be like really polite to me if I get this wrong and correct me. But it's something like they made jellies and jams and people were wait in line to get the jellies and jams because they were so big.
Okay.
And so they started building little attractions while people were waiting in line for the jellies and jams. And so now it's an amusement park. So maybe nap to Born Line by using parks at the start.
Yeah. Well, I've never been there either. So I'll have to try it.
Okay. The fried chicken there, real good.
Okay. Oh, so it's not just jellies and jams. It's a whole.
Yeah. Array. This whole. Yeah. So it's an amusement park. And at Halloween, it turns to not scary fire.
Now, how long have you been in LA for? Because you're a wealth of knowledge here. I feel like when I get out and about, like, I'm thinking, you're my tour guide.
Okay, sounds scary. Yeah, so I've been here since 2003. Wow. Yes, 2003. I moved out here to attend grad school. So I was 2 years old. And then, my sure. So when these things started happening to me. So the Mac to Grief, I suppose, it's weird because I felt like I was just starting to like become a person.
Yeah, right.
Like, you know, that's how we use metaphor with like a butterfly just starting to come out of the cupid, like a little bit. And then someone's just like, not sucking down.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like, what am I going to be?
Uh-oh. I have an analogy similar. It's not the butterfly, it's the surfer, because I was taking surfing lessons and I was in Costa Rica at a trauma healing retreat, actually, right? And so when you're doing the surfing lesson and you get up on the board and you're like, all right. And then the wave comes in and knocks you down. Yes. So I get it.
Well, you know, grief actually feels like waves, especially in the first like weeks, like, well, but you know, beyond that, but for me, at least in the first weeks, well, you know, from surfing, okay, so like the wave, you know, pulls out from the ocean. It's like, I'm sure there's some science ready to describe this, that it builds on itself, gets bigger, it crests, then it crashes, then it goes back out and emptied out. So it's heavy, feels.
Yeah,
but then you're like, I'm gonna cry, I know I'm gonna cry right now, but then it like crashes, you sort of feel empty, and so doesn't you?
It's a cycle. I explain this to friends when we have organic chats about this. I say, I'll just call a spade, and you say, I've wiped your grief wave, right? And yeah, I just got hit by a grief wave. And then we have the little, the gif that you said, like through your phone of the guy surfing, and then he gets knocked out with the wave. I'm like, here's me this week. I'm like, I'm going through a grief wave. But
yeah, you know,
it's real
now.
I do. Yeah, I have friends that I'll communicate with, and we all communicate through gifts.
Oh, yeah,
it's like, it's from fans. Yeah. It's
like, just get you, right?
Yes, let just get you. It's nice. I feel like you just get me. I say,
I feel that too. I had such a great time chatting with you in the studio today. It's been such a blessing. I absolutely love Mike with you.
Me as well. And, you know, thank you for taking the opportunity to talk about this, because I've never really talked about this maker to anyone. So this is a good start, right? Just you and me and the whole internet. Like, yeah, you know, just to graduate you. So.
Yeah, right, exactly. Jump right. Jump into the wave.
Jump into the wave.
Yes, I love it. And what an honor to sit here and have a chat with you and free to share your stories. And I'd love it if you share the audience link handles for any of the organizations that you're involved in.
Yes. So Best Buddies is Best Buddies CA, also Best Buddies. And Casa Los Angeles, not the blank, but Make-A-Wish is Make-A-Wish Los Angeles, which I'm involved in, and Make-A-Wish Foundation, just Make-A-Wish. Yes, please go check them out. But, you know, also do what I would say to people, do what speaks to you and what makes your eyes light up, like get you excited talking about it. I highly, of course, recommend these organizations and Bishop also do it. Speaks to them to the freak a difference.
I love that. And I always say, like, I am my own nonprofit, but I always encourage people to find the nonprofit that speaks to them, that speaks to their soul. And it might not be mine. That's why I always love to highlight other people's
emissions. You know, it's amazing. It is amazing.
Yeah.
The world is awesome.
Nope. Yeah. Now, where can people find you?
Oh, so I'm on Instagram. So it's KIM_NCC, like Reconnell. You can see that brick now.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for spending time being in the studio today.
You might. It's so lovely.
Amazing. The beautiful Kimberly Poser McConnell. Follow her at the links and check out those amazing initiatives that she's a part of. That's a wrap.